So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com. Man, I tell you what, it has been a crazy, crazy day. You know, I'm going to start this show tonight ranting. Yeah, I know you guys get used to that, but in this particular case, I'm getting damn sick and tired of being plagiarized by mainstream media. You know, it wasn't too long ago, just last month, in fact, Rand Paul was giving some speeches, and he forgot to mention one source, his Wikipedia, in one of his speeches, and the whole world blew up. Rand Paul plagiarizes. Never mind that everything that Rand Paul has done prior to that, he always gives credit to his sources. It was an inadvertent mix-up, not a big deal, and it was a spoken word, not the written word, that was the problem. But the media had to go crazy. Right here in Louisville, we did. You had the Courier-Journal, your WDRB, your HAS-11s, your Channel 32s, all of them. Rand Paul's a plagiarizer. And yet, lo and behold, the hypocrites. Dale?
Yes?
What is that?
What's going on, Ed?
Oh, that bad. I heard all that background noise. I was like, okay.
Sorry, Ed. I'm going to do a show while I'm cleaning guns. I won't do it again.
I appreciate that, man, because I hate to hear
no, actually, I barely made it in here in time because my commute was like 45 to 50 minutes, but I was trying to get the noise down. Sorry about that.
Oh, you're okay. Just caught me off guard. By the way, folks, that's Dale the Truth. He joined right as I was starting to rant, so I figured I'd finish my rant first. but Dale, they continue to talk about Rand Paul and plagiarism, and it just made news like crazy. Local news stations were covering it, going nuts. And yet, lo and behold, on Monday of this week, a guy by the name of Jay Morgan, former director of government operations for Ford Motor Company, filed a lawsuit against Greg Fisher and Kevin Cosby, personally and individually, for libel and slander that cost him his 23-year job at Ford Motor Company. I had the exclusive on that story, reported that story immediately as soon as the lawsuit was filed. I had the exclusive copy of the lawsuit within seconds of the lawsuit being filed. Why did I get the exclusive on this? Well, folks, I work with people everywhere, and I build relationships. And back in July, if you remember, Dale, I outed every bit of the story that has to do with this lawsuit. We called it the West Side Story. We were talking about the Workforce Training Development Center and everything else that Greg Fisher threw out the window because he didn't want it in a black neighborhood. That's what the lawsuit is referring to. So for months now, I have followed Jay Morgan, kept in touch with Jay Morgan, have worked with Jay Morgan, trying to get to the bottom of this atrocity as far as I'm concerned or Louisville's concerned. So when it came time to file the lawsuit, guess who was contacted? And I stayed with this and did the exclusive. Well, here's what I'm getting at, folks. Your local mainstream media, your reporters are so lazy today, they don't do any real work. What they do is they plagiarize your content. And it started Tuesday morning with Jason Riley over at WDRB. I will flat out accuse him of plagiarizing. If you look at their version of my story one day after mine was posted, and by the way, my story also had a copy, a complete copy of the lawsuit that nobody else had access to until today. Okay? Every bullet point, everything is straight off of my site. He hadn't even seen the lawsuit when he wrote the story using the information from the lawsuit. I'm the only one with the story out there, the only one with a copy of the lawsuit. It started with WDRB. Now we've got Channel 32, Courier Journal, and Mark Vanderhoff. All of these guys are plagiarizing my story. So after the lawyers on it, we're going to go ahead and sue half of these people, and we're going to win, and I'm not worried about that, but the principal is involved here. How can anybody say that they accuse anybody else of plagiarism when you're out there stealing everybody else's work without doing the simplest courtesy of giving credit? Do we not give credit to the Courier Journal when we use their stuff on this show, Dale?
Yeah, if you have to use it, yeah.
And there you go. If they're the originating source, we always give credit because that's the right thing to do. It's an ethical consideration. Now, what's really fascinating here is these clowns are getting advertising revenue and everything else using my stories. So now we have monetary damages. So it's not going to be as simple now of telling their reporter they screwed up. Now we're going after bucks. So they can look forward to some lawsuits in the very near future. And I hope Bill Lamb at WDRB is paying attention to this. I hope that the Courier Journal is paying attention to this with Mark Vanderhoff, because I tell you right now, in my opinion, Jason Riley and Mark Vanderhoff should be fired immediately for plagiarism, and we'll prove it in court. So I had to go on that rant because I got so fed up last month of all the crap that these locals were putting Rand Paul through for so-called plagiarism because he didn't list one source out of the hundreds that he uses every week. And here we've got a great example of these hypocrites. I mean, they do this to me all the time, but this time there was no way they could independently verify the story. That's
well,
the difference.
This is what you get, Ed, with the old dinosaur media. I mean, we've talked about it. Hell, Ed Martin and I have talked about it. They're worthless. Look what they've done with you in their Sunday paper. It's nothing but an advertisement, and they now racked the price up 300%, and I don't know who's buying it. I mean, I guess you could find it in a dumpster somewhere if you really want to read it, or get somebody who's like 90 years old and still subscribes and get their login so you can look at it free on the internet. But I don't know anybody who buys their publications. So they're pretty desperate. And honestly, most of their stories are usually just PR pieces that somebody sends them on their fax machine or as a PDF, and they take someone's press releases and public relations pieces and makes it their news story.
Well, you know, ethics, but that's the thing. Ethics and journalism, it's journalism 101. It's first year crap. Is giving credit and everything else. I mean, that's the bottom line. And it just gets incredible when we continue going down this road of these clowns continuing to steal stories, especially mine. I'm just fed up with it. But in this case, they screwed up because they can't prove that they had any independent verification. There was no way to prove it. I'm the only one that had the evidence. So, you know, that's the thing. And for people, I mean, here's the deal, folks. What plagiarism really is, and I want to put this out, and we're going to move on to some other stuff, I promise you, but right now this just really got me angry, and it started with Jason Riley over at WDRB. But basically, plagiarism is a wrongful appropriation of another author's language, thoughts, ideas, or expressions. Now, that's the Wikipedia. See how we used the source there, Dale? That's the Wikipedia interpretation of it. Because when you use somebody else...
I'm embarrassed by these guys. I went to school with some of these guys. Remember, my bachelor's degree is in communications and a minor in English. So I have a journalism background, and again, I know what these guys do. I went to school with some of these guys, and they're lazy, and some of them, if they haven't had their jobs cut from the big dinosaur media, they have another job. So they basically are literally mailing in the story when they can, and if they got a buddy who has a press release, that becomes their news story. If they got a buddy who has as a PR piece, that becomes their news story. So I definitely understand. You're preaching to the choir. They don't want to give any credit to the new electronic media.
Well, it's not even the electronic media. I mean, basically it's protectionism at its finest. But when you're going to steal somebody's language, thoughts, ideas, or expressions, that's called plagiarism, when you represent them as your own original work. And when you don't give credit, that's what you're doing.
If you were on a TV station, if you were on, and I know it's a catch-22 because they wouldn't let you on there with your opinions, or my opinions for that matter, but if you were on one of these local TV stations, if you were one of these mm-hmm. little blonde bimbos reading the teleprompter, or if you worked mm-hmm. for the Courier Journal or the Herald Leader, they would give you credit. That's why I said it's an electronic media thing, because they don't like you because you're not one of them. You're not in their little
fraternity. Oh, you got a point. You got a point. Considering that we started the whole show Monday night, as soon as these charges were filed, spent the first half hour on this story, you know, we've even got more proof that it went public. But it's just amazing to me. I get sick of it. In this particular case, we are going to go after them for civil penalties. WDRB and everybody else can get pissed and say that I'm liable and slandering them, but I've got the evidence. I can prove it. So guess what? You're on the hook, WDRB, Courier Journal, WLKY, and whoever else I'm going to put in. This ain't decided yet. those three are on the hook for plagiarism right now. We're going after them. I don't care about their attorneys. I've got a great legal staff of my own. And you know, we're going to get this taken care of, because I'm getting sick of this kind of crap. It's just utterly mind-boggling to me that these idiots continue going down this road. All they have to do is say the story originated at Louisville Politics, or Ed Springsteen submitted this story. Whatever you want to do, it's the simplest thing in the world. You've got this fair use of media and stuff, but you have to acknowledge your source.
Yep.
It's that simple. So this is a case we're going to win. And we're going to have fun with it. That's all I'm going to say about it for now. In the meantime, right. We've got so many other things going on, Dale. It's incredible. WHS 11 put out a story today listing Bashir. Bashir was listing his top 10 accomplishments his administration. I know. See, that's exactly what I did when I saw the headline. Bashir lists his top 10 list of administrative accomplishments for the last 12 months. I started rolling. I couldn't think of one. So, you know, he's basically using his Kentucky neck as one of those, talking about how that decision alone is so dramatic and amazing. And, of course, we'll get into what's wrong with that here in a minute when we talk about the fact that it's been down all week. Nobody can sign in. So that's been a real good thing to take care of. You know, but some of the things interesting to me here, though, a couple of them stood out. And he said that he is determined that we will address tax reform in some manner during this session, that there have been tangible talks ever since the last session. Here's what stood out to me. That he couldn't just shut his mouth and leave it at that. He had to go on and say, it doesn't mean that we're going to go out and raise people's rates. It means that we probably need to broaden our tax base and perhaps look at some services that the sales tax doesn't apply at the moment. Now, we're not going to raise rates, but we're going to charge you sales tax on stuff that we don't charge you on right now. What's the difference?
Well, there's no difference in 6 1/2 dozen another. The problem is, whether it's local government or state government with Pat Paul Bashir or federal government, they keep talking about how it's going to be so hard to make these cuts. And I get in these arguments with even neocon Republicans on the internet. They say, oh, we can't just start cutting everything out, Dale, because if we do, there'll be riots and looting. And they're serious about this. And I say, then bring on the riots and looting, because you can't keep incrementally making government bigger and say you're making it smaller. We see that in Congress. We see that, you know, your buddy Boehner, the House Speaker, and Mitch McConnell's job, they don't want to do anything to make government smaller. And I get sick of people saying it's going to be so hard to make these cuts. Yeah, it is if you're one of those people who's living off the tit of the government.
Well, yeah, that's it. And, you know, and this is the doublespeak that drives me nuts. I love it because, you know, this reminds me of the Louisville Water Company doublespeak. Right here in Louisville, we say we're not going to raise your taxes, but then we go raise your water rate 6%. Because all the profits at Louisville Water Company go straight to the city of Louisville, and they use it for tax services. So it's that backdoor tax that Stop It, our good friends over Stop It, fight all the time, okay? So this is just that double talk. We need people to really wake up and understand that when they're raising your sales taxes, when they're raising your rates for something as simple as water service in Louisville, because they want more money, because they want more profit that they can send somewhere else to take care of government funding to act like they didn't raise taxes, it's a joke. It's still the same thing. And the second thing that stood out in this deal for me was Bashir was talking about expanded gambling.
Mm-hmm.
He's still pretty confident that expanding gambling is going to be tackled in the legislature in this session as well. But here's the statement that bothered me with him. It was his confidence. He says a constitutional amendment needs to be short and simple and clean, and then we'll work on the enabling legislation and see where there is some common ground. See, isn't that always the problem?
Is he taking our side against the ridiculous amendment they had before? Because we know that that one was written, and I like Churchill Downs as a recreational thing to go and do, hanging out at Churchill Downs, but we know that they have huge lobbyists and attorneys and conglomerates that put that amendment on the ballot. So is he saying that he was on our side against the way they try to give that to the Churchill?
No.
What does he mean by a clean amendment? I don't understand.
Exactly. I think where this is going.
That's what I would say.
Something out there
when it didn't confuse people, because you and I and Ed and everybody else on this network talked about they were going to fix it. Where there was maybe, I even looked at it on a map. I mapped it out. You know, they had to be so many miles from a racetrack, and we looked at it, and there were like tiny little spots down, like on the southern Kentucky border, were the only places that were going to be able to have casinos that weren't tied to racetracks.
Well, we addressed all that just a couple of years ago. I actually wrote Senate Bill 222 that Senator Perry Clark sponsored. And by the way, for those who think I don't like Democrats, I want to inform you something. Senator Perry Clark is a Democrat.
Perry is great.
A Democrat that I like a whole hell of a lot. You know, but I worked with Perry Clark. We drafted the legislation for Senate Bill 222. I went to Frankfort multiple times. Trying to get support for this. The 222 would have took care of all of the problems and all of the questions that people had. And more importantly, it would have saved charitable gaming, so charitable gaming didn't go out of business. When you talk about all these elderly homes and everything else, they run these bingos to get money to fund them to keep them in operation. That's charitable gaming. You look at stuff like Coles Airs and all these other children's and things and handicapped kids and disabled kids and everything there. These bingos fund that. The way that they want to structure this is to make sure the racetracks have all the control and take every dollar away from charitable gaming that they can, and it's going to put all of these people out of business.
Or the government. I mean, look, when they came up with the fiasco, that was the lottery, and we always hear about how wonderful the lottery is, and every time someone actually wins, they're required by law to go out and tell everybody about their wonderful story, and we hear how, every penny that they had, they saved and put in the lottery, and they finally won. Well, then what about all the people who are participating in that, what I call a tax on the poor, which is the state lottery? I mean, we would never allow the state government to have an official alcoholic beverage that they promote, or God forbid, a cigarette or hemp or marijuana, but they have an official state gambling, and that's the lottery, and they don't want anybody to have any gambling unless it's, like you said, run by the racetracks and or the government.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I'm not a hypocrite. I've got no problem with legalized gambling. I've got no problem with legalized drinking.
We're not like David Williams.
You know,
we're not going
right.
to tell you we'll protect you from it and then go do it ourselves. I mean, I have no problem with gambling. I've been known to do some gambling, and I think everybody should be allowed to vote on it on the ballot, and I think it shouldn't be controlled by the government or the tracks.
Well, I agree, and that's the whole point. Because if you get right down to it, when you look at Churchill Downs or the other racetracks in Kentucky, I mean, you talk about corporate welfare recipients. Our friend Paul Holliger can give you the background of Churchill Downs, or we'll stop it. But Churchill Downs is nothing but a welfare recipient. They don't pay any taxes. They don't do anything. They make millions of dollars in profits that they pay out in bonuses and stuff to their daggone corporate leadership, but they never pay one dime in taxes. They don't pay for any MSD usage or anything else at Churchill Downs that every person has to pay for and every business has to pay for. So this is corporate welfare, and to continue giving it to the tracks at the expense of the needy who rely on bingos and charitable gaming, that's how I got involved in this a few years ago, and it's insulting. And it's insulting. So, you know, but those two things stuck out really big to me, and I kind of wanted to get your opinion on it. You know, we talked about Kentucky Next, the KYNECT, just a minute ago. That's Kentucky's version of Obamacare, and I should say illegal version of Obamacare, because he appeared implemented this on his own without legislative approval, and I'm hoping that they address that in January and make it illegal, but we'll see how that goes. But he's bragging about that as this great success. You know, there has been national news, media, and everything else has been all over this, citing Kentucky's on-site Kentucky Next Medicare program or medical program, the Obamacare, as this great example of what others can do. Only problem is it's been down all weekend and hasn't been up all week. You can go to the website. You can start an application. You can edit an application. When you call the operators that are supposed to be on standby, they continue telling you that the system is updating and you've got an hour, that it'll be up in an hour. They've been using that same hour since Monday morning. And the phone lines were down earlier. So, you know, now you've got Obamacare going live 2 weeks from today. The Kentucky program is just as bad as Obamacare. One thing that people don't realize is these state exchanges are basically doing nothing more than linking to the Obamacare website to get the rates. Is that correct?
Well, it is, and I keep telling people there are only, I used to say two, but there are only three groups of people that would even apply for it. Number one is the group that is still so naive and stupid that they think it's free. And then number two is the group that is afraid not to apply for it because, you know, they don't want to be breaking the law. And then the third group is going to be the one that we see more and more of, and that's those probably of us, I include myself if it comes to that, those of us whose employer provided health insurances finally go belly up. So there's only three groups of people that apply for this thing, the ones who think it's free, the ones who are afraid of the penalties, and the ones who have lost their private insurance because of the fiasco.
And that's very true, and that really is the problem, because nobody wants to look at the reality.
Have you applied for it, Ed?
I'm not going to apply for it. I have no reason.
I mean, I wouldn't
want to
put any information out there because we know it's all the IT people I know, and I've worked in that field for a long time, says it is the most bug-ridden, infected. It's worse than Facebook with all the bugs and viruses that are attached to that page.
Oh, I agree with you. It is totally crazy how they think this thing is any kind of success at all. But the fact that Steve Beshear is out there actually touting this as a success when it's an abysmal failure and has been down for more than 3 days now with a lie saying it'll be up in an hour, when you're telling your people to lie, you've got a severe problem with credibility. But I thought that was interesting. And let's face it, last night I put out a report. The businesses were all surveyed, and just about all of them said that their number one concern right now, 77.2%, their number one concern for their business is having to worry about health care. 77.2% of all business is worried about what these health care premiums are going to do. And, of course, we have everything like Darden restaurants and all these other places that are cutting their employees down to part-time. We've even got the Hobby Lobby. Do you remember that story? They were trying to go to court because they don't believe in having to provide insurance that requires abortion all that stuff. Well, the thing is, Hobby Lobby is going to court, and if they lose in court, they're going to shut the doors. Mm. Rather than have this business open that's employing thousands of people, the business is going to go ahead and close their doors because of what they believe in. So now you're putting thousands more people out of work. You know, and oh, by the way, when it comes to the Obamacare and the Kentucky neck, and this is the bait and switch Beshear's not telling anybody about either, more than 90% of the people who are signing up for this are being switched over and qualifying for Medicaid and Medicare. Who pays for that?
It's not
the federal government, exactly. Most of those funds come out of state funds. So all you're doing is increasing the load on the taxpayers to pay for something, you know, that we don't have the money to pay for. So it's
my question is this. Why do you think, in your opinion, because I have my opinion, but I want to know yours first, why do you think Papaw Beshear is out here whoring this out, and he's kind of like Mitch McConnell was Harry Reid's expensive whore, so now this is Papaw Beshear's expensive whore. Why do you think Papaw Beshear, our dear governor, is out there whoring this out?
I think he's got national aspirations. I think he wants to run for national office.
I'm thinking he's old and he's worn out and he's been the luckiest governor ever to win two terms. You look at the Republicans that he went against, how pathetic it was. I think he's probably wanting to get him some cushy job in academia, good like Flipper Paul Patton did.
Either or. I can go with that.
Same thing. I mean, I don't think he's going to go up for a higher local office, God forbid.
Right.
Thank God if he doesn't. But I think he's going to be president of some university somewhere like Paul Patton down in Pikeville.
You might be right. You might be right. Either or. But, you know, this is a prime example of the Democrat and the liberal utopia we always talk about. You know, a lot of people think we're too conservative, but we're not the ones making the rules. These Democrat so-called leaders are the ones in power making the rules right now. If these were Republicans, I'd be calling them out.
Yep.
And I'm going to call Mitch McConnell out in a minute, and we'll get to that in a second. But, you know, we get into this, you know, and it's just mind-boggling. I mean, we have Michigan now, thank goodness. Michigan actually is doing something unique. Well, I believe it was Michigan. Yeah, it was. Michigan just passed something called the Abortion Insurance Opt-Out Act. And what it essentially is, it's a measure that's going to ban all insurance plans in the state from covering any abortions unless the woman's life is in danger. Now, will this stand up at the Supreme Court? I don't know. We'll find out. But it takes effect in March. And essentially what it says, if you're a female or employer and you want to purchase a separate abortion rider, go ahead. Go ahead. But they're not going to force insurance plans in the state to cover abortion unless a woman's life is in danger. What do you say about that?
Well, I think they shouldn't force that. First came my government involved in any of this stuff. The government shouldn't have been involved in anything like insurance. And we know we have to go back decades to find the time that they weren't, but this is the problem. I think when you choose a plan, you choose a job, and you choose a health plan with your job, that's a lot different. If you don't like something that they are pushing on you or they're paying for, you can lobby the people in your administration at your work, or you can choose a different plan, or you can choose a different job. But when the government's involved, you don't have a say in the way that they're spending their money. And this is why government should never be involved in something like health care.
I'm totally with you. One of the biggest sticking points of that particular controversial law is the fact that it only includes language for the when a mother's life is in danger. The biggest sticking point that everybody's arguing about is that they don't even go as far as to include rape or incest as part of that abortion rider. Now, for me, I'm pro-life, but I consider myself one of those humanitarian pro-lifers, if you will. And what that essentially means is, for me, if the mother's life is in danger, in the cases of rape or incest, I can make a case for abortion that I can live with comfortably. I won't have a problem with that. However, there are caveats. In the cases of rape or incest, both are illegal behaviors. These are criminal acts. So if you're going to scream rape or you're going to scream incest, you must give the name of your attacker, file a criminal complaint, and name your attacker if it's known. Period. In cases of incest, of course you know your attacker. Everybody does. In cases of rape, you may not know your attacker, but there's still a criminal complaint filed. Okay? You have to have something justifying that you took action to correct that criminal behavior. And I can accept that for rape or incest. Whether that's good or bad, I don't know.
I stick to what I've always said about abortion, and I get heat from both sides on this because there are these people who claim they're the biggest pro-life folks, and they're usually neocon Republicans. And they get mad when I tell them it should be left up to the state because any other type of murder is left up to the state. I think it's great that Kentucky has very stringent laws against abortion, and I think it'd be great if they have more. And this is where you just do what Ronald Reagan said. You vote with your feet. If you don't like what one state does, then you go move to another state. That's that freedom again. But the problem is we don't leave this stuff up to the states, and it should be just like everything else. If you have a family member of yours, God forbid, get murdered, do you want it tried in Louisville, Kentucky, or at least in Kentucky, or do you want it tried in D.C.? That's what we've done with abortion is we basically say that, oh, D.C. decides that you can murder these unborn babies. And I'm very pro-life, but it should be a 10th Amendment state right issue.
Well, we both agree that state rights don't exist anymore. You know, that's the sad reality, but I'm 100% agree with you. The state should have the right. If the state has the right to determine whether gay marriage is legal or not, why don't they have the right to determine everything else? I mean, you know, we can't pick and choose where states' rights begin or end.
They have the right to do that on abortion until Roe v. Wade, and that's the whole thing. You're right. It should be like that way. It's overreaching by the people in the black moo-moos that we call the Supreme Court.
and why did the Supreme Court take control of that issue? How much money do you think is spent on abortion every year? How much money does Planned Parenthood get from our tax dollars every year?
Oh, I've said for a long time, if they're so caring, I mean, abortion is a big industry. People don't like to hear that, but right. Look at the sex trade. Look at the children for sale we see. Every now and then, the story sneaks out when a child is for sale. Nobody wants to see that dirty part of the market that is children for sale. Abortion is a big business, and I always say, if they care so much about these unwed women who don't know who the fathers are, don't know how many men they slept with and who the baby's daddies are, well, then they need to make all abortions free, and all abortion providers should pay for the abortions out of their pockets. And if they ever came up with a law like that, Ed, every abortion mill would shut down tomorrow.
Well, there's no doubt about it. And then you get the argument, well, now we're going to the back doors and all that stuff. You know, I live by one simple philosophy when it comes to that kind of stuff. Keep it in your pants or cover it up, man. I mean, it's that simple. There's no reason today that we should be having conversations about abortion as a form of birth control. None. There are too many contraceptives available and too many different avenues available to have protective sex and not have children. And I'm getting sick and tired of these people saying, well, condoms fail. 99.5% of the time, condoms do not fail. So if you want to tell me one half of one person out of every 100 people who have sex, the condom failed on, okay. But those aren't the people getting abortions. That's just the stupidest argument in the world. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we are going to move into some other things. You're listening to the Ed Spencer Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. For you guys that want to call in, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334 are the numbers. And for you guys in the listening queue, we appreciate you. Just make sure you hit that one on your dial pad so we know you want on air. We'll talk to you in a minute.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
I tell you, Dale, there's just so many things to talk about each and every day. We really don't get to everything, but there are some things that stand out. You know, one of the things I really want to point out real quick is what's been going on up in Ohio. Ohio Secretary of State John Husted announced this afternoon that his office had found 17 non-citizens illegally casting votes for Barack Obama during the 2012 presidential election.
Only 17?
Well, we're getting further. He referred to that case for possible prosecution. But, you know, we know there's a lot more than that. He also found there was 274 non-citizens that were still on the voting rolls. I'm assuming they're being investigated. They also found that 257,000 dead people were still listed as active voters that were voting. You know, what do you do here?
That's why Charlie Miller puts all his signs up in the graveyards now. I know it now.
Oh, I know. You know, so this is coming from toprightnews.com. And, yeah, I know it's a conservative source, but this is being reported everywhere. So, you know, it's interesting because when you look at this, it's fascinating. And, by the way, I lied to you. That was coming from foxnews.com. Our next story will be coming from Top Right. We'll get to that in a second. But the Fox News story is concerning the Ohio thing. What's really fascinating is that they also have reduced – at one point, they had found 340 1,000 registrations, duplicate registrations throughout the state, people who have been voting more than once. You know, and they also found 370,000 people who have been moved, who had moved, that were still showing up on the voter rolls and stuff. So this is already a million votes there that you can look at as being questionable if all these people voted. We don't have the proof of that yet, but that's where we're leading to. But, you know, what's really interesting is because we do know that Ohio has some serious voting fraud going on. Meloise Richardson, I'm sure you remember that name. She's serving 5 years in prison now because she was convicted of 4 counts of voter fraud. She repeatedly voted for her sister. Her sister has been in a coma since 2003, so her sister was voting from a coma state for Democrats in elections. You know, and her sister voted in the presidential election for Obama in 2008 and 2012, even though she was in a coma. You know, and Meloise Richardson had also voted for using other people's names, you know, including her granddaughter and things like that. So these are things that are going on. Ohio, as we know, what was the biggest reason that Barack Obama got elected. We have mass voter fraud going on there. Why is it just coming out?
I don't know. I mean, we know that there's been a lot of voter fraud in the state for a long time. And, I mean, I'd love to put all the blame on the Democrats, but we see that they had this campaign through the Secretary of State's offices across the country where they wanted to come through and do this kind of weather underground kind of crap through the Obama Corporation. And again, I don't see Republicans standing up to it much. We saw what happened in Kentucky. Hell, we even had a former Secretary of State, Charles Merwin Grayson. He got his ass kicked in the primary for Senate, so he quit his job. He up and quit his job as Secretary of State, which allowed us to get what? Alison Lundgren Grimes to be put in there and further her career. So, again, my point being it doesn't ever surprise me that these are Democrat states. Ohio is one of the worst, but I don't see too many people talking about it except for us.
You're right. They don't. And I tell you why, because even Richardson's granddaughter that she'd been illegally voting for told Fox News that it really wasn't a big deal, that somebody is voting in her name, you know, doing this. So I thought that was really interesting. And you know, you talk about Alison Lundgren Grimes, just real quick. Have you noticed Alison Lundgren Grimes is being really, really dodgy when it comes to talking about Obamacare or Kentucky Next?
That I haven't heard anything from her. I mean, she's about as open and cooperative with the Democrat Party voters as McConnell is with the Republicans. Nobody ever sees either of them.
That is very true. It's very possible. I thought it was really interesting. She's been out. She's still out there focusing on fundraisers, but she's not talking about anything, which ought to tell you, you know, what you see is what you get. So that's not a great choice either. But since you brought up McConnell, here's another story. This is TopRightNews.com. As I mentioned, the Senate Democrats, along the party line votes today, actually passed a two-year budget deal that was brokered by Paul Ryan, biggest sellout in the world, and Democratic Committee Chairman or Chairwoman Patty Murray. But this what's really disturbing here is this, because there was an amendment put up by Jeff Sessions of Alabama, and it was co-sponsored by a lot of other people. That was trying to prevent closing a welfare loophole, or it was actually going to cut this welfare loophole that illegal aliens are getting. And what that essentially means is this. We know that illegal aliens are receiving tax refunds and everything else using a TIN, or an ITIN, an individual taxpayer identification number. They are falsely claiming they have kids that don't exist or that they're taking care of, and they're getting all these earned income credit tax refunds, everything else, to the tune of billions, and I mean billions of dollars. Just in California, one single address in California in 2010 received 2,507 tax refunds, totaling $10.4 million by illegal aliens. Now, how in the hell is the IRS going to be able to implement Obamacare when they don't have a red flag showing that there's 2,507 checks mailed out to a three-bedroom house in California? I have no idea, okay? But so Sessions was basically saying, okay, we're going to stop giving these tax refunds to illegal aliens, and that will fund our veterans, because what's going on is the veterans are now facing a $6 billion slash to their benefits over the next 10 years. And we're going to keep giving illegal aliens over $4 billion a year and illegal taxes and welfare and everything else. Comments?
Well, I just think that on one hand, when they choose to put the interest of illegal aliens, undocumented workers, whatever you want to call these guys that run across the border, we know how little they care about the illegal aliens. We know all the way back to Bush, Clinton before him, Papa Bush before him. We know they don't really care about the border. We know it's just talk. It's never any action. And when you put that interest of the illegal aliens above our disabled military veterans, that's something people need to let sink in for a moment. The two-year budget deal, as Ed's mentioning, with Patty Murray and Paul Ryan, is going to cut military pensions. Now, this isn't military-industrial complex spending. That's something I don't have a problem with cutting, and Neil
right.
Con Republicans piss their depends when we talk about cutting spending. But this is going to cut military pensions by $6 billion. And Jeff Sessions was warning about this for a long time, and he tried to stop the cuts with that amendment, and the amendment to restore the veterans' cuts target a child tax credit loophole that illegal aliens have used to unlawfully obtain welfare. So the IRS watchdog found that illegal aliens received $4.2 billion
mm-hmm.
in tax credits in 2010, Ed.
Yep, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. And, you know, when you look at this, it's just baffling.
I mean, let's
me.
Be honest, that they have nothing else to do. They come over here illegally, and people will say what I'm saying is racist, and you know me, I don't really give a damn. But when you basically give them every funding you can, every government program, every welfare program, every entitlement program, what else do they have to do when they come over here except sit around and breed more children?
Well, I don't disagree with you on that, and I really don't care what return for going down that road either. You know,
what else do they have to do?
Is,
they have all this handed to them.
This I agree with you. This is Harry Reid and the Senate Democrats. Now, if you remember, last June, they passed this big old amnesty bill. You know, so we know what the intention is. I mean, let's face facts here. We covered a story I believe it was last night. It might have been the night before. I can't remember. But we covered a story about Barack Obama, his aunt. His aunt is on welfare, has always been on welfare, and she don't care. He's got an aunt that lives on welfare in Boston. She's an illegal alien. She was ordered to leave the country by a judge in 2004. She was ordered to be deported. She refused to go, didn't go. And then in 2008, when Obama first became elected president, as soon as he was elected president, the same judge who ordered her deported in 2004 changed his mind and gave her a path to get legal status. And, of course, Barack Obama claims he had nothing to do with this. Now, we all know that he lied about his family ties because his uncle, that he said he'd never met in his life, he actually lived with for a while when he was going to Harvard. This aunt, who he doesn't have much to do with, claims that she and him are close, and we can prove it because she was actually at his inaugural address with him when he was inaugurated for president. So
remember, we've seen stories that they've done over in Africa where he's got first cousins that are living in, like, grass huts and living on, like, $10 a month.
Yeah, you know.
So, I mean, I was going to ask you if that aunt was related to the homeless illegal uncle that he lived with and didn't know about. And then he finally had his White House spokesman admit that he existed after they pretend like he didn't exist all that time.
No, and what about his brother, the Muslim terrorist, in my opinion, who's making all the money for the Muslim Brotherhood? I mean, this is crazy to me. You know, so we wonder why the Senate Democrats are going down this road, and Harry Reid is here too. It's totally shocking that the Senate Democrats can sit here and claim, you know, that they're doing something right when they're killing veterans, and they literally are. When you talk about pensions and you talk about military benefits and stuff, those aren't top-of-the-line Cadillac plan health care plans or major paychecks. This is hand-to-mouth survival. So when you're taking money away from these veterans, you're forcing them to choose between life or death in many cases, just like the poor. I mean, that's exactly what you are. So
well,
it's
a lot
right
of them that their only survival, and again, I can speak for my own parents about this, there are a lot of military veterans out there. Their only economic survival is their Social Security and their military pensions. And I can say that
right.
because that's how my father gets by. He has his Social Security, he has his military pension, and the tiny, tiny little, and I mean the tiniest amount of a pension from the corrupt bricklayers union that he was in. So, you know, this is how these people survive, and they're cutting them off. And I think if our good friend Paul is still in the chat room, he'll appreciate me saying this because it's a lot like what Paul has told us, and that is, if this was happening when our grandparents were our age, if it was happening when they were in their 30s and 40s, mm-hmm. our grandparents would have already been on the Capitol steps with torches and pitchforks and firearms.
I don't think there's much doubt about that. And I do have to point this out, though, because you mentioned a bricklayer's pension fund. Now, I've got to be honest with you. You know, when it comes to the bricklayer's pension fund, it's kind of something that's close to my heart. My dad became disabled in his early 30s. It took 4.5 years before Social Security would finally say, okay, we're going to give you Social Security. We essentially lived on the street for 4.5 years. Well, not really, but close enough. But, you know, Bricklayer's Health and Welfare Pension, never argued. They started paying him his disability pension immediately. And, you know, that was the only source of income we had. It was only $125 a month back in the 70s, but it was something. So I'm getting pride with those guys.
Back then. I mean, I think back then that probably did help you a lot. But the problem is their pensions have gone up very little in regards to cost of living, just like government pensions, just like
I get that.
So it probably meant
there's
a lot back then.
Not many bricklayers. Well, there's also not many bricklayers left that are paying into it either, because that's a fund that has to be. Yeah, well, I agree there. But, you know, but anyway, so this is the thing, though. So we've got Barack Obama taking care of his Muslim Brotherhood family, his illegal alien family, and now we've got the Senate Democrats led by Harry Reid, who also pulled a coup and decided to get rid of the daggone what word am I looking for, Dale? You know, you can't stand up anymore. Jesus, Ed.
Talking about the filibusters, or
there you go. Thank you, man. I tell you, you know, you have those brain hurts on occasion, and I just had one, but yeah, I got rid of the filibuster.
Old folks,
so.
You can't help it.
No, it's got way too much going on today, but you know, so we eliminate the filibusters. This gets passed along party lines. The Senate gets it through. So now we're going to have a 2-year budget that's going to screw the veterans. You know how to fix that? And I firmly believe this is the way to fix it. I'll come off like a liberal, or I'll come off like a socialist. I'll come off like someone with this comment, but I'm dead serious about this. If you want to be an elected official in our Senate or our House or the President of the United States, the three biggest branches of government, three branches, if you want to be an elected official or serve on the Supreme Court, for that matter, a federal elected official, then you better have as part of your resume a one-term commitment to the military. A 4-year commitment to the military sometime on your resume. You must serve in the military of the United States if you're going to make decisions that are going to affect the military of the United States. And I will bet you that will fix a lot of this.
Well, I mean, that's something where, you know, there are occasions that Ed and I disagree, and I totally disagree with that. I don't want to have any requirement. I guess some people could say you don't have to run for government, so therefore it's not a thing they're forcing you to do. I just wish that they gave a damn about the military veterans. I would even say, you know, I wouldn't go that far because I don't want to force government service on anybody, but I would even say I would like to see them take some of the money that we keep spending in Afghanistan and Iraq and Korea and take that money away from the military-industrial complex and give it to the military disabled veterans.
Oh, I'm with you, but we know that's not going to happen. So do either one. I'm okay with that, too. I'm just looking for options here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and I think that if we can force them to take that funding and redirect it to the veterans, great. But they're not going to do that.
Nope.
So the only other option is let's make them accountable to the veterans. Let's make them accountable. I mean, let's face facts here, Gail. If I'm going to go to Washington, D.C., and I'm going to represent all these veterans, and I have no clue, I'm going to make military decisions. I have no clue about what the military is all about. I can't make an informed decision, can I? So why not? Why not? You know,
well,
I didn't say the draft.
I see these organizations like the American Legion. You know, the American Legion, right, for years and years had their big conventions in Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
And it just blows me away. I've talked to some of these older folks, and I don't know if they just want to think well of our government and want to think that the best of people, you know, maybe that's the older generation. They're not as skeptical and cynical as I am. But I feel bad for them because every politician will go and speak to them and lie to them and tell them a bunch of BS, and they either believe it or they know they can't do anything about it. So I feel bad when I see the American Legion and these other military groups have politicians come in and pander to them, take photo ops, because they don't really ever get anything out of it.
Well, okay.
I mean, mostly it's Democrats.
I do.
I was amazed by how many people in the American Legion kissed the ass of Bill Clinton, and I never understood that.
I would contend that we don't even that we don't include National Guard, Coast Guard, or anything in that military commitment. I would contend that if you want to be if you want to be run for office in this country, you must be four major branches: Army, Air Force, Navy, and Marines, for a minimum of 2 years active duty or a minimum of 4 to 6 years reserve duty. One of the two. Because I don't want somebody to go out there for 4 years and be a weekend warrior. Because unless you're war, like we continually in since we started in Iraq many, many years ago, unless you're in perpetual state of war, those guys are not, those weekend warriors do nothing but play all weekend and sit around. They don't do real military work. They don't have a clue. Most people don't know that. You know, think, well, this guy's in the reserve. He's a great guy. He's serving his country. No, he's not. He's getting $200-something a month to go to a unit and then go play 2 weeks a year somewhere to fulfill some sort of a contractual obligation. They're not held to the same standard as regular military. They don't really know what the regular military is about. They do now.
No, you're right. And the problem I would have that, again, above and beyond the fact that I don't want any forced servitude, is we have a lot of people in the military who have less common sense than people who've never been in the military. Look at some of our politicians who were in the military. Look at some of the dumbass decisions they make. I'm talking about people like John Kerry, John McCain, Jimmy Carter. They were all in the military, and they were some of the most corrupt, idiot politicians ever.
But those guys were politicians first, military second. If you take an 18
they were in the military before they got into politics.
John McCain came from a military family.
I heard that.
John McCain came from a military family. John Kerry was primed and prepped from the time he was young to become a politician, and he knew that military service at that time was the way to get there. So, you know, at that time, they actually believed military service in order to be a politician. And I'm not saying they're not going to have dumb politicians elected like we have now. I totally agree with you. But the chances of having everybody in Congress a dumb politician with military experience, I think greatly reduces the influence that people like John McCain have. Because when John McCain got into politics, and before he became some kind of an idiot over the last few years, you know, John McCain was looked at as an expert because of his military experience. I mean, here's a guy who was a POW, never mind the fact that he sold out.
Mm-hmm. Now, the problem goes back to the electorate. The problem goes back to the, I don't know if you want to call them the disinterested, the disenfranchised, the dumbed-down electorate, whatever adjective we want to put on them. The problem goes back to the voting public, as we always say, is the problem with a lot of things. Because, Ed, if the majority of people out there agreed with you that, and I'm not saying they do or don't, but if the majority of the people out there agree with you that people in government should have military service, you know all they have to do? Go vote out the ones that don't.
Yeah, but you know they're not going to do that. But if everybody has military service, guess what? Voting blocks is nothing but pure veterans who are going to vote for somebody only because they were military service is completely diluted. Now you have to make a choice on candidate, right? Because everybody's got military service now. You know, and I, you know, I'm not saying that may be extreme. I'm just saying it's an option. And that's all I'm getting at. We've got to start looking at options and hold these people accountable. Because our veterans, I mean, you know, we've been in a perpetual state of war since we bombed Baghdad. We've been in a perpetual state of war for over a decade now. And this is something that can't sustain. We have had, I mean, I'm not even going to look beyond our military veterans as far as casualties and disabilities and stuff. I'm not even going to get into the civilian sector. Mm-hmm. But when you look at our military veterans, today we have more people coming back missing limbs, missing body parts, dying in combat for something we have no business being in. And we're telling them, thanks for giving us your arm, your leg. Thanks for giving us your gonads. But, you know, go live on the street. We're not going to take care of you for serving us and protecting us, and that's what we say they're doing, even though we shouldn't be there. So if we're going to use that mentality, and we're going to basically tell these guys we don't appreciate you, that we're going to turn our backs on you, then this volunteer force is going to work much longer. Why would you go voluntarily destroy yourself, have yourself killed, maimed, or worse, you know, and leave your family behind for suffering? Why would you put yourself through that for as little pay as you get when you have no benefit coming to you at all and your country doesn't care about you? Because that's what our politicians just
told us. To me, the answer, I mean, I know it's hypothetical and rhetorical, but to me the answer is clear as to why they do that. The main two groups of people that go into military, number one, are the ones whose entire family was military. I was one of the very few people in my family who didn't go in the military, and my family is very thankful that I didn't make that mistake, because I do think it's a mistake to go into the military today. And number two, the other group of people that do it who aren't military brats and families, they go into it because they have no other job opportunities. And many of them go into the military because the standards have been lowered so much because we need so many warm bodies to go around the world. They now take people with all kinds of racial war backgrounds, all kinds of gang backgrounds, who can barely read, who can barely pass high school. They'll take them all now because they need the warm bodies for their globalist world building.
Well, they're actually going to do cuts in military spending and cut back on the force again, too. Explain that one to me. But,
I don't know.
You're right about a lot of that. But, you know, I've got to tell you, too, the flip side of that. You know, I was that guy that turned 18 years old that you're supposed to go fill out this selective service card, that SSS card. And I didn't. I actually got the warning in the mail that said you're going to fill this out or else. So I finally did. And, of course, I never got called, obviously. We didn't have a draft at the time. This was back in 81, okay? But when all of this went down, I was one of those people that said, screw it. I'm not joining the military. I'm not going to do this. And a couple of years later, I changed my mind. And I've got to say this, and I really do, because at the time I went into the military, you still had a strict military. The problem with our military now, when you talk about gangbangers and everything else and all the problems you're having in the military, the rapes, all the other things going on, these didn't happen back then. And they didn't happen because your commanders had control. Now you've got this don't ask, don't tell, or now it's okay to do this, now it's okay to do that. If your hat's on crooked, it's not a big deal. We're not allowed to hold you accountable. And you've gotten rid of the discipline in the military just like you have in society. But when I went in, I've got to tell you honestly, the military made me a better person. It made me realize and find out more about myself than I can possibly explain to anybody. And it made me a better person in my thoughts, ideas, and my approach to life. So, you know, for me, it's not a bad deal. But That's another story for another day. We're running out of time, my friend. This is one of the fastest hours we've had. Dale, final thoughts, bud.
Well, final thoughts. This always goes back to government control. And we start out the show talking about government agencies, and they don't have competition, so they don't really know anything about real profits. Their profits are hoard-out profits because they don't know what it's like to be in real capitalist situations. They have no competition. And then that leads us right into what happens with the government when they have no competition. They can do whatever they want. And again, they prove they can do whatever they want. They take the people who actually survive these globalist wars, and they send them back, like Ed said, in body bags and in wheelchairs and missing parts. And you know, they come back here, and they can barely move around. And then we see what happens to them after that. And we see all the post-traumatic stress disorder. And we see all the mental illnesses that they have. And again, the bottom line to me is your government is not looking out for you. And I definitely don't think that kids today, if they're listening, should ever go into the military. I think if you want to fight for your country, then you need to join a militia. But if you want to fight in your military, then basically you're going to be serving for the New World Order.
Okay. That's one way to look at it. You know, for me personally, I mean, there's so many things that go on. I think the military, the benefits of being in the military far outweigh anything else. But that's an opinion thing. We're both entitled to our opinions. More importantly, we need to take a good look at what's really going on in this country. Dale continually talks about the New World Order. We have lowered our standards so many ways in this country. It's unbelievable. When it's okay for the Senate to tell the veterans that they've been begging about, and they've been getting elected bragging about in many cases, you know, the things that they do for the veterans and how they support the veterans. I'm getting sick of the lip service. I am a veteran. I'm getting sick of people saying we appreciate our veterans and then allowing idiots like Harry Reid and these Senate Democrats to go out there and take away from the veterans even more. It makes a mockery. And it makes a hypocrite out of anybody who opens their mouth saying that they support our veterans and then votes for these clowns. I'm getting sick of having an unaccountable government when we have the NSA spying and everything else, and that's a story we didn't get into tonight, Dale, but it should be fascinating for you tomorrow night, I'm sure. But all of these different things going on in this country, we're not paying attention to. We have a media that will sit out here and scream plagiarism, plagiarism, and try to destroy a man's career over one innocent mistake. But they do that themselves every day. This whole country is full of hypocrites, from our leadership, our elected leadership, to the media. And until we're willing to hold all accountable to a higher standard, remember, people will only give you what you're willing to accept. It's time that we raise our expectations. because until we do, we're screwed, and it's going to get a lot worse. That's it for tonight. Dale, anything for tomorrow?
Well, we are going to talk a little bit about the fact that this past week or two, and I know we didn't talk about it, I don't know what you all talked about the last two nights, but we had another school shooting, and it was kept very low-key, and we didn't get all the publicity that it usually does. So we're going to talk tomorrow night, why is it that this school shooting didn't get much publicity, and why is it that the media, the same mass media that Ed is talking about, railing about truthfully about what they do to steal from his work, why is it that the mass media works to keep these shooters' profiles secret? That's what we'll talk about.
I know what shooting you're talking about, and I'm looking forward to hearing that show myself. That's tomorrow night at 7 o'clock on the TNT Thursday Night Truth Show with Dale the Truth. And don't forget our good friend Ken Moman with his version of Liberty Unbridled, Sunday night at 7 o'clock. In the meantime, folks, that's a wrap for tonight. We hope to hear from you soon, and have a great week. I'll see you on Monday. Take care.